Good morning and happy Sabbath, everybody. It's a blessing to be able to be here this morning and having the opportunity to be able to share with you from the Bible, from the Word of God. But before we begin, I'd like to just invite you all to bow your head with me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for the blessing of the Sabbath. We want to thank you for the opportunity that we can come here this morning and worship you. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll better hide me behind the cross and that your words will be spoken through me, dear Lord, that it will be able to touch the people's hearts here. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll send the Holy Spirit to be with us as well. I pray that you'll better guide us into all truth and what the Bible is teaching us this morning. In Jesus' most precious and powerful name, amen. Okay, so as you can see, the title of my sermon this morning is Being Touched But Not Touched. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. Now, maybe you have heard some of my sermons previously, and generally I like to preach... Generally, I like to preach about the encounters with Jesus. I like to study and see what Jesus did on this earth and the miracles that he performed. When I read and look at the miracles in the Bible, you know, it always amazes me to see the power of God and his love. Now, one of the, as you can see here, one of the stories that we're going to do, to look at, is in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. That is Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. And here we're going to look at one of the stories of Jesus. Now, today's message is going to be short and simple, but it is probably the most important thing for us to be able to know and to be able to learn today in our Christian walk. Now, turn with me to Luke chapter 17, and we're going to read about a miracle that Jesus performed. Now, Luke chapter 17, as you can see, verses 11 to 19. Okay. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, talking about Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So, when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And it was so, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud, voice and glorified God, and fell down at his feet and giving him thanks. And then it says, he was a Samaritan. Then it goes on, it says, then Jesus said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And then he said unto him, he said, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. And in the King James Version, if you have a King James Version here, it says, "Your faith has made you whole." And that is very interesting. So here we see the 10 lepers. But interestingly enough, here Jesus is going to Jerusalem, and he has chosen the road that leads him through Samaria and Galilee. Now, I don't know how much you know about the Jews and the Samaritans, but they did not get on. The Jews looked down on the Samaritans because they were like half Jewish and half Gentile. And the Samaritans didn't like the Jews. They had caused trouble for them in the past. So here Jesus chose a road on his way to Jerusalem in between both of these countries. Now, here we read the story of these 10 lepers. Now, Jesus is approaching the city, or the village, and as he's approaching, it says that these 10 lepers, what do? They cry out and say, "Jesus, have mercy on me, on us. And interestingly enough, when we look at the Bible, You know, what I like to do is when I study and look at one miracle or a story in the Bible, I like to compare it with other stories and other miracles. So here we read about the story of these 10 lepers, but then I thought, let's go to another story about how Jesus healed another leper and see what the difference is. What can we learn about these lepers that Jesus healed? So let's just turn to another story. And let's turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 43. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 43. Sorry, just one sec, I needed to get a drink of water. Okay, verse 43, and it reads, and it says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be thou cleansed.'" Be cleaned. So here we read two stories of Jesus healing these lepers. Now, when we look at these two stories, what is the difference? What are the differences that we can see here in these two stories? Yes, he touched this one. My title, yeah, being touched but not touched. Yeah, he touched this one. What else happened in this story that is different from the other 10 lepers? Exactly. Here we find that Jesus is walking to the village and these 10 lepers, they cry out and they say, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And yet here, there is this leper and he comes as if he's almost running to Jesus. He implores him, he begs him, he gets on his knees and he says, "Jesus, please, can you heal me?" Now, there is significance to this. Now, maybe if you have read the book of Leviticus, maybe you haven't, but we find that it talks about a leper. And a leper was seen as if you had leprosy, it was seen that as if you had sinned against God. You were despised by the people, and you were also looked upon as despised by God. And so here this leper, feeling rejected and dejected, he felt like that no one really cared for him. He needed to know that Jesus loved him and that Jesus cared for him, because he felt this separation. And so here he comes to Jesus not only to be healed but also to be spiritually healed. He wants to be able to have the affirmation of the Divine One, of Jesus. And so he comes to Jesus seeking guidance and also seeking for love from him. So here, this is what we find, a few of the differences in this story compared to the 10 lepers. What else can you see? Jesus looked at him with compassion. Now, with the 10 lepers, what did he say? What did he say to the 10 lepers that asked for mercy? He says, "Go see the priest." If you were one of these 10 lepers, how would you feel? Most likely they had heard, because they're asking Jesus to have mercy on them, but most likely they had heard that Jesus had healed other lepers, right? Most likely. And so here, they cry out and they say, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And Jesus, what does he say? He says, "Go see the priest." He doesn't say, "Come." He doesn't say, "Oh, come, you know, come see me, you know, let me touch you, let me heal you. You know, I want to be able to let you know that I do care for you." Do you think these lepers felt cared for?
Healed by remote control.
Yes. So here we find that these 10 lepers, what they do, Jesus tells, "Go see the priest." And so what happens? Do they say, "No, we want to come and see you, Jesus"? Do they say that? No, they go, okay. And then so they turn around and they walk away. And now I find this quite interesting that here Jesus tells them to go see the priest. They obey. They obey. They go to see the priest. Now, exactly how far they went before they were healed, I don't know. Maybe it was one step, two steps, three steps, or maybe seven. Seven more is a perfect number. Or maybe it was 20 minutes. Maybe it was, you know, half an hour before they were healed. But the Bible does not tell us, does it? But they were healed. As they were walking, it says, and now I can just imagine, as they were walking, suddenly they are healed. Suddenly the leprosy leaves them. Can you imagine what a miracle that would have been? Here they are walking and Jesus heals them. Now, let me ask you a question. Jesus healed these lepers, and we find that they had some type of relationship with him or with God, right? Because they were healed, yes? Now, do you think it took, how much faith did it take for them to be healed like that? I would have taken a fair bit of faith, right? Do you have that type of faith? For Jesus to say, be thou healed, and then he says, go see the priest, and they go to see the priest, and they heal. That's a lot of faith. Now, when I'm thinking about this story, when I'm looking about what happened here, Jesus, he tells them to go see the priest. He's not saying the priest will cleanse you, because back in those times, they had to go to the priest to be able to get, like maybe if you could say, a doctor certificate to be able to say that you were clean. So here they go to the priest, they are healed. And now, when we look at this story, we type of can see that possibly there were Samaritans and there were Jews within this group. And so here they were walking together, they were healed, and this one leper, and it tells us that he was a Samaritan. This one leper, you know, he realized that he is healed, and you know, the peace comes over him, and he knows that, you know, someone has touched him, and his heart was touched. He was touched, but not touched, right? And so he stops, and I'm sure he says to the other lepers that were with him, they said, hey, you know, he said, hey, you know, look what happened. You know, we're cleansed, we're healed, you know, from the head to their toe. There was not one bit of leprosy on them. And, you know, he says, look what just happened. You know, he was amazed, and I'm sure he said to them, let's go back and see Jesus. Let's go see this man that healed us. You know, they had been living together, and yet, you know, they said no. They wanted to continue to go on to be able to get their doctor's certificate. They wanted to go and be able to, ceremonial laws stated, you know, that you had to go see the priest about to be cleansed. They were so interested in what they needed to do in obeying the ceremonial laws, the laws of the time, to be able to be free, to be able to be free and healed. This is what they thought was important. Can you see this? And so I think they're interesting. And so, anyway, we'll continue on. There was this Samaritan. He then goes back to Jesus. And what does he do? Let's have a look. Back in Luke. Let's turn back to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and let's look back down in verse 15. And when one of them, when he saw he was healed, he returned with a loud voice and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So here he come back to Jesus, fell down on his face and glorified him. And he was showing great thanks. Now let me ask a question. We already talked about it a little bit. So these Samaritans, why did they not come back to see Jesus? sorry, the Jews or the other lepers, why did they not come back to see Jesus? They were too excited. You know, they had other things to do.
They said, why should I bother? I'm better.
Yeah, they were better. You know, when we look at what they asked Jesus, they had just asked Jesus, please have mercy on us. They weren't particular in asking Jesus what for and what he had to do for them. He knew that they were lepers, but they were like, okay, Jesus, please heal us. It shows that they had no real commitment or desire to be able to get to know Jesus. They just wanted to be healed and cleansed. Now, quite often, let's just think about this for a minute. Quite often, you know, we will come to Jesus, but how do we come to him? Do we seek just for healing? Do we just seek to be able to get him to be able to do things for us? Are we so busy within our life that we don't have time to be able to set aside and see Jesus? Now, we don't know how far these lepers were away from Jesus when they were healed, but this one, he could have almost been at the priest, but he had to come back and see Jesus. Why? Because he was already cleansed. Why did he have to come back? Because he wanted to be able to get to know Jesus. He wanted to know him. Same as the previous leper, you know, he wanted to know Jesus. You see, this is the most important thing within our Christian walk and within our Christian life, is to be able to get to know him. Not just to seek for cleansing, but be able to get to know him. Now, when we look at the leprosy was only on their skin, wasn't it? Jesus healed them from the outside, but their heart was still hard. They didn't care to be able to get to know him. Now just turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. Chapter 36 and verses 26 and 27. Are we all there? Okay. Okay. Let me read. It says, Jesus says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put my spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Here, they were obeying God's laws, they were doing things, but they didn't have the heart. They didn't want to get to know their healer. Do you want to be able to get to know your healer? Maybe you are not sick with leprosy. Maybe you are not sick with disease. But we all have a problem, and that is sin. You know, Jesus has come to be able to heal us from this. Now, but let's just turn to the book of John. Turn with me to John. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Now this is a fairly famous verse, and we're going to read verse 3. And it reads, "And this is eternal life, that they might know you, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." See, this is life eternal, that we may know him. Now, I'm sure these other lepers, they knew God, but they didn't know him, if you understand what I mean. They knew him, they had a certain amount of faith to be healed, but they didn't have this relationship that is life eternal. They were just worried and concerned about themselves. Let's just turn back to Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Okay, so here we see this Samaritan that came to see Jesus. Now, we find here that it says that he come and fell down and glorified God and praised him and fell down his feet in an act of worship. So interestingly enough, you know, when I think of this, I see this, you know, it makes me think now of another passage in the Bible, which we should all be familiar here with at 3 a.m. And that is in Revelations chapter 14. Revelations chapter 14. And turn with me to Revelation chapter 14 and the first angel's message here. And we read here, down in verse 7, it says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, just as this man gave glory to God. It says, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven, earth, and sea. Here this man, this leper, he come to glorify God and worship him. Now, when we think about what happened here, why also did not Jesus ask the lepers to come back? And he wanted to see those who really, truly loved him, right? He wanted to be able to build the relationship with that one person. So we find that there was a test. You know, maybe you could say Jesus was passing judgment on them, right? He was passing judgment on them to be able to see those who truly loved him. And so we find that, you know, judgment can mean like a separation. And so here we find this is what happened. Now, I'm not saying that this story here was trying to make a parable for us today to be able to understand what we can learn from it. Now, here we see there were 10 men. Okay, there were 10 men here. Now, if you look at the number 10 in the Bible, maybe some of you may know, what does it symbolize? It symbolizes testing. Okay, testing. 10 represents a test. Now, here we have like 10 commandments, right? We also then have Daniel. In Daniel, we find that when he went to Babylon, he was there tested for how long? 10 days. And so here we see the number 10 can represent testing. And so here now I'm not saying that this is the reason why Jesus said that to them to be able to go see the priest, but here we see a test happened amongst them. And that one of them come back. Now, when we think about this, it was just 1% of the 10, right? Just 1% of the 10. Now, when we think that is the remnant, right? He was the last one, the one and few. And so here we have this leper, the remnant, coming to give glory to God. Now, here today, we come to Jesus. We want to be able to be one of his saints. We want to be able to be one of the few that he comes back for. And we want to be able to be one of the remnant. Is that true? We want to be one. But how? How? What is the most important thing for us to be able to be one of the remnant? What we find in verse 12 of Revelation chapter 14, we find here, it says, here is the patience of the saints. So here are the saints. It says, here are those who keep the commandments of God. So keeping the commandments is important. And just as these other lepers went back, they wanted to be able to obey the ceremonial laws, but they missed one point here. And here it goes on. It says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Or we can also say the testimony of Jesus. They did not have the faith or the testimony of Jesus. This is an important thing for us today to be able to really have this relationship with him. We need to get to know him. But what does it take for you to be able to get to know Jesus? What does it take? You know, we find here, it says, well, we see this man, he was touched, but, you know, he was not touched. He did not feel the divine hand directly upon him. We cannot see Jesus directly, but he can touch us today. You know, we can be cleaned, but the question is, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be complete? Do you want your heart to be changed? Jesus wants to change your heart, but are you just happy to be cleaned on the outside and have this appearance of having a relationship with him, but do you really know him? I don't mean like you know the doctrines, you know that Jesus is coming back. I don't mean that you know that Jesus healed so many people. I mean, do you know him, know him, know him? And this is the important thing for us to be able to have this relationship with him, is to be able to get to know Jesus if we want to be able to be one of the few and faithful to him. How much time do you spend with Jesus to get to know him? This man, he come back, you know, to see Jesus because he was grateful, he was thankful. How much time do we spend with Jesus because we are grateful and we're thankful for the things that he has done for us? How much time do we spend with him to get to know him? Not to study and you know, it is important to be able to understand the theology of the Bible, but how much do you know him on a personal level? Just as, do you make effort, just as both of these men went to make effort? Now, I would like you to think about this and turn with me just to Ephesians chapter 3, our last verse. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. This is what it is to know God. Ephesians chapter 3, and this is probably one of my most favorite passages within the Bible. Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 17. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And now this, we find this is Paul's prayer, and this is my prayer as well for our church and for each one of us and myself, that Christ may be in our hearts. And it says, through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, to be able to understand what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, this is what it is to know Jesus. This is to be able to know the depth, the length, the breadth, and the height of his love. Do you know his love? Do you meditate upon his love? This is what it is to be able to know Jesus. And we find here it says, in the last verse there, it said, to be able to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. You know, we can't even comprehend the love that God has for us. But do you know that? Or do you only know what the Bible teaches? Do you spend time with Jesus to be able to get to know him? Now, I'd like to be able to invite Shaylee and Jason up. And they're going to sing a special item for us. And I would like you to think about these words as they sing. It is a beautiful song, and I pray that your heart will be touched as you hear this message.
Has he touched you? No, has he touched you? Has he made you whole?
Thank you.
I'd like you to be able to stand with me in prayer and invite Jesus to be able to come and to be able to touch you and to make you whole. Not just to clean you or cleanse you, but to be able to make you whole and give you a new heart. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for the opportunity that we can see these stories in the Bible that happened long ago. Lord, we see how Jesus healed these lepers. And Lord, they had a disease on the outside. And we also have a disease as well, dear Lord, but we have a disease within the heart. We have a problem, dear Lord, that we think that we know what is best and we try and take control of our own lives, dear Lord. But I pray that you better be with each one of us and that you better touch us and that you better to make us whole, Lord. I pray that we will not be just satisfied in being cleansed and knowing, dear Lord, that we are healed, but that we will want to be able to know you as our personal Savior and be able to know the love and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love that you have for us. I pray this in the most precious and most powerful name of Jesus. Amen.